Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today's interview is with Vincenzo Galasso, who is a professor of economics at Bocconi University in Milan. Vincenzo and I met at the European Economic Association's annual meetings in Milan in August 2008, where we spoke about his research on what influences people's decisions about having children. He began by explaining how economists tend to think about this question.
Well, basically, I think there are two large motives that, in the literature have been discussed for why people have kids. One is, and probably goes back to the old age, and one is, as I said, that people may want to have kids because they believe that kids will provide them with some sort of old age security. So you have kids because you expect your kids to give something back to you in terms of in-kind transfer or monetary transfer when you become old. This is typically thought of something that was in place in Western society maybe a century or a century and a half ago, and now it's probably going on in developing countries. The other similar literature thinks that people have kids because they are some sort of a consumption good. So we have kids because we like to have kids. Just like we buy a car or just like we go to the restaurant, well, we like kids and we want to have them. What we try to do in this research with Francesco Billa, who's a demographer here in Bocconi as well, was basically to try to see whether we can tell apart this motive. So is it true that people have kids because they are consumption good or they're rather an investment good? And this is not just some sort of an academic interest. I think it's more than that, because there are a lot of policy around Europe in particular that are designed for people to have more kids. So the fertility issue is something which is certainly very important. And let me say that I believe that most of the people think that in Europe the reason why people have kids is because of this consumption motive, so that also the policy are designed having in mind this kind of consumption motive. So what we did was to basically pension reform, actually pension reforms, two of them, which were done in Italy in 1992 and 1995. This pension reform represents some form of a quasi-natural experiment, the reason being that there is a very clear discontinuity in the way people were treated by the reform. Namely, what happened in 1992 was that people that had more than 15 years of contributions were entirely untouched by the reform. Okay, so the reform didn't touch their pension wealth. On the other hand, people that had less than 15 years of contribution saw, or at least had to expect, their future pension benefits to be cut quite dramatically. And the change right there at 15 was very large. Just to give you an example, picture somebody, two people born 1 year apart, one has 15 years of contribution in 1992, another one has 14 years of contribution. They will both retire after 40 years of contribution. So that would happen, for example, in the year 2017, say. Then what happened is that the replacement rate, so the generosity, if you want, of the pension for the person that had 15 years of contribution is around 80%. So they're untouched by the reform. They got a generous transfer. What about the other guy that had only 14 years of contribution in 1992? Well, for that person, the replacement rate is going to be in the range of 60-65%. So as you can see, only 1 year of difference in terms of contribution drives a huge difference in terms of pension generosity.
So this provides you with a nice natural experiment to look at the issue.
Absolutely. So what we did was we went and looked around this threshold of 15-14 years of contribution. We used Bank of Italy data, and we basically tried to figure out what happened to people in these two groups. So one is the control group and the other one is the treatment group. The treatment group, of course, being those that see their pension benefit cut by the reform. And we asked ourselves the following question: are these guys going to increase or decrease their fertility after that? So what we did was we selected, using the Bank of Italy data, married couples where the female, the woman, had less than 40 years old, where it was less than 40 years old. And the reason, of course, is that we wanted the fertility motive to still be relevant at the time. And let me add that Italy is a country of low fertility, but also a country of late fertility. So most of the decisions by Italian female, and this was true also in the 90s, were decisions that were taken in their 30s. So female decide how many kids to have, basically, typically in the 30s. Now, what we find is that People that were touched by the... So the two groups are very similar, particularly if you look at only people who are 1 year apart. So they had, prior to the reform, they had something like 1.45 kids, okay, per couple, around this kind of number. After the reform, we see that the behavior of these two groups is relatively, or actually it's largely differs. So what we had is that people that were touched by the reform, so people that saw their pension wealth decreasing, had more kids than the others. So fertility, the pension cut, had the effect of increasing fertility, which, surprisingly enough, goes in the direction of kids being an investment good. So you see, you understand that your future pension will go down, you need to save more, and you need to increase your fertility. And that's exactly what Italians seems to have done in the 90s.
So you see a number that's much bigger for the people that are affected by the reform in a bad way, in terms of the number of kids they're going to subsequently have.
What you observe is that for the people that were untouched by the reform, there was basically, after the reform, there was one kid every four families, every four couples. Okay, whereas for people that were touched by the reform, there are two kids every five couples. So this is around 20% increase in fertility, and it's and I guess a pure demographer would tell you that it's quite a big effect.
How does this fit in with the whole debate in Italy and other European countries about the low level of fertility and the fact that populations seem to be shrinking and those issues about how can we encourage more fertility? Do you think that this suggests that this reform actually is beneficial in this way?
Well, it's kind of interesting because we are used to say that, and we have been told for many years now that basically a pension may be one of the reasons. On one hand, the increase in pension benefit and pension generosity may have been one of the reasons why fertility has been decreasing over time, because people didn't need to have kids to take care of them when they were old because there was the state taking care of them. But on the other hand, of course, having a low fertility rate is something which certainly has a negative impact on the financial sustainability of pay-as-you-go pension system. You have few kids and so on and so forth. Now, this kind of gives a new light to this debate, because now what we're saying is that in countries where there were, at least in a country like Italy, where there was a pension reform which reduces the benefit, now we observe an increase in fertility. And of course, an increase in fertility may also mean that this is going to give a little bit more of an help in the future financial sustainability of Italy. So it's, you know, it looks a little bit like a virtuous circle going on here. You know, if you are able to decrease pension a little bit, people will react by increasing fertility, which in turn would also help a little bit the financial sustainability of the pay-as-you-go pension system. So for a change, this would be a positive, positive result.
And do you think there's some relationship with the timing of fertility? You mentioned that Italy, as well as being a low-fertility country, is a late-fertility country. Do you think change of this kind might encourage women perhaps to have children earlier in their lives and then go back into the labour market?
That's harder to say. What we certainly observed is that fertility for, especially for Italian females, by which I mean for natives, not for migrants, increased after 1996. So there has been a long-term drop in fertility, and then we now start to see that fertility it's increasing again. Okay, I mean, it's still at very, very low level, but nevertheless, there has been some increase in fertility starting from the second half of the 90s. This is driven both by an increase in fertility among the native female, as well as, of course, behavior of the migrants that tend to have more kids. So from this point of view, we do observe some changes. Now, whether this is entirely driven by the pension reform, I don't think that we can make that statement. Certainly, pension reform had some to do with it, but I don't think that the entire change was entirely due to this kind of thing. Now, are Italian female going to have kids at an earlier stage? I think that's going to depend a lot more on the labor market than on the pension system. So I think we have to look also somewhere else if we want to know more about this kind of fertility behavior.
And going back to your original question of, you know, are kids an investment good or a consumption good? I guess you would come out and say, well, I think there is much more of an investment element than a consumption element than we previously thought in modern developed societies.
Absolutely. And let me add a personal experience to this. We just had my wife just had a baby 7 months ago now. And so going through the paper, I was thinking, it's got to be the case there that they are a consumption good, and I was quite surprised to find out that actually it goes in the other direction, and our results seem to imply quite clearly that at least in Italy kids are an investment good. Now it's important to say in Italy, because of course whether you want to have kids because you expect them to give you something back in the future, this something back be probably not so much monetary transfer, but maybe I would say more in-kind transfer, taking care of you when you're old. This may be a feature of a country like Italy where family is very relevant. So what we don't know is whether this result could actually be generalized to different countries which have different history in terms of family, if you want.
Well, let's hope that our children give us pleasure as consumption goods now and take care of us in our old age too. Vincenzo Galassi, thank you very much.
Thank you.